another on to love and good deeds. And we have a few stories from Peru about holding on to the hope and encouraging one another. So let's read this passage. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start from verse 19. So Hebrews chapter 10, starting from verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. The first thing that impacts me in this passage is the word therefore. Always when we have the word therefore, therefore is a connecting word that connects what happened in the previous section with what's happening in this section. So in the section just before this, we read about Jesus. I'll just adjust this so it doesn't make so much noise. In the previous passage, it shares about how Jesus is our great high priest and was the perfect sacrifice. The death of animals could never bring the forgiveness of sins. But because of Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, we are able to come to Christ with confidence. Therefore, we can enter the most holy place and have intimacy with God. And another thing that struck me is the use of the word we. We often think of our personal relationship with Jesus, which is very important. We read the Bible by ourselves and we pray by ourselves. But also having a community of believers as we have here, and also I'm sure connecting through virtually, is very important, because throughout the New Testament, it stresses the importance of the body of Christ and the unity that we have as believers. And we can come into the most holy place. In the temple in Israel, they used to have a thick and huge curtain that divided the holy place with the most holy place. And if you remember, when Jesus died, this curtain that divided the holy place from the most holy place was torn from the top to the bottom, so that we can now have access to God directly. So let me read verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to clean us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. So let us draw near. When our family had COVID, June of this year, and many people prayed for us, including you guys here, and we really appreciated that. Many people also sent us verses to encourage us. I had a fever for large parts of the day, but for several days, and for large parts of the day, my heart was racing, and I was completely exhausted. I would sleep through the whole day and then through the whole night, and just going to the bathroom and back would exhaust me. When I could, I would read the Bible and read through the Psalms that brought me a lot of encouragement. I especially appreciated the Psalms that taught me about the character of God and who God was, and that brought me strength. And during this time, I had a greater focus on God and who he was that I normally don't have. And I felt I could draw close to God. I had a confidence, and we have this confidence not based on the things that we do. Yeah, so through reading the Psalms, through a difficult time, I think I felt a closeness to God that I often don't feel. I had the focus, everything else didn't matter.
And all of us, this passage teaches us, we can come close to God with confidence. We don't need to wait for tough times to come close to God. And the confidence that we have is based on what Christ has done and not based on our own holiness, but it's based on the holiness of Christ. Let me read verse 20 and 21. By a new and living hope open for us through the curtain that is his body. So again, this imagery of the curtain being torn and us having access to God. And it talks about the curtain being torn, but in the same way Christ's body was torn for us. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Through the curtain that is his body. I love this verse, and this is kind of the key verse for today. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We're still in an uncertain world. We have our Lord and Savior who is faithful. We've been planning a trip to visit my father-in-law and my mother-in-law for a while. Just to cross the border to Queensland, there has been all this uncertainty. And with our normal lives, it's hard to know what will happen next year. And it's hard to know even what will happen next year, next week, with so many things changing. But it's great to know that we have a certainty in Christ. We have a Lord and Savior who is faithful. We can trust what he has promised. Let us hold unswervingly in what we have in him. I'd like to put this verse on the steering wheel of our car, to hold unswervingly. To hold unswervingly means to hold on, to believe this without wavering. When everything is changing, we can hold unswervingly to the truth. And I'll invite my wife up to share a few stories on how the Lord has been faithful.
I'm going to tell you the story of Janet. I'm going to tell it in the first person, so it's not my experience, okay? Just to be clear, it's not me. It's about a friend of ours called Janet, okay? I was sick in hospital with COVID, and I prayed and asked God, why am I here? Why have you brought me to this place? Is it time for me to go to be in your presence? Are you giving me an opportunity to be here for a reason? Why am I here? Every time I prayed this, I felt God's Spirit saying, no, it's not your time to go. Speak of me in this place. I started to share the good news of Jesus with the people beside me. And through this, and though it was extremely difficult to speak and breathe, I prayed for wisdom every day. And I got to know the patient beside me named Karina. I heard her story and heard about her struggles in life. By God's grace, I improved little by little, but Karina got worse and worse. She was gravely ill. She couldn't go, I thought, until she hears God's truth, God's word. I explained the gospel to her, and with tears in her eyes, she accepted Jesus into her heart. My time in hospital was not in vain. So I continued. Karina went into the emergency department, the ICU. I continued to sing the praises of God in the hospital, sharing God's love with the others, with the nurses and the doctors. You could imagine how hard it was for them. I give credit to God for the strength he gave me, and I thank you for all your prayers. The story of Janet.
So Janet was a missionary to the jungle in Peru. She is a Peruvian who went to a more unreached area, a remote area in the jungle in Peru, and she didn't understand, and she and her husband had left everything to serve God. Why would God be doing this? Why was she dying in the hospital? Till she realized that this was an opportunity, even though she herself was in the intensive care, she took the opportunity to share this, the great news about Jesus. We sometimes forget the great news that we have. She shared this good news with her friend, who she'd met, who was dying. And sadly, this lady passed away, but she had the opportunity to share her faith and lead this lady to Christ. And now let's hear the story of Nika, who's also another friend of ours.
Nika and Josue, they're people who are very involved in ministry in our city, friends of ours, co-workers. He was tested four times and was negative for COVID. On the fifth time, they said, yes, you have COVID. And then he went to a hospital and they rejected him four times. There was no room in the COVID hospital. They couldn't get him in. And he kept going back to the other hospital where he had been because they firstly thought it was pneumonia. Josue, her husband, was quite sick and he feared for his life. But in the end, they made him a bed in a different hospital. Even though it wasn't the COVID hospital, he wasn't supposed to be there. But that meant his wife, Nika, could be by his side and advocate for his health. He feared for his life because he saw people on his beside him dying. And she was able to be with him and help him. But of course, she got sick too. Finally, he was released from hospital when he was very sick still. They didn't have any oxygen at home. It was a struggle, but the Lord protected him and Nika, and they recovered. And they praised God for their lives and their even more committed to serving the Lord and serving others and encouraging others because their experience really showed God's faithfulness to them. The verse that came to me when they were sick and we were all praying for them was, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will hold you up with my righteous hand." And I sent that verse to them because I felt a peace that God was going to protect them and use them ongoing in the ministry that they were doing.
So being followers of Jesus does not mean that we are protected from the difficulties of life. Bad things happen to Christians, and sometimes Christians suffer much more than others. But here's an example of a couple. Through difficult, very difficult times, they held firm to the promise of the Lord. I'd like to share another story about a friend and co-worker. We worked together in the university ministry. This is a story of someone who had a heart and a love to serve Jesus. He had a heart for Venezuelan refugees who lived in our city, many of whom made a living on our streets. So he invited Venezuelans to share their struggles with the university students that we worked with. And soon I realized how much these people needed our help. And then COVID hit. Thousands of these refugees who previously made a very basic living day to day, suddenly had their only source of income gone. And they had no support from their families or from the government. And Matthias spurred us into action. We began a project and we bought food in bulk and we packed this food into bags and began distributing it. And we started with about 70 people and this expanded to 300 And then it expanded to 3,000. And we'd like to thank you guys for supporting us financially and in prayer through this time in helping us to be able to get this support to others. Each week we handed out a different message. It was very difficult to share the good news about Jesus during COVID times, keeping distance. But each week we handed out a different message that shared the good news about Jesus, and we provided Bibles to those who were interested. And we were able to keep connected with many people afterwards. And as restrictions open up, we hope to connect more people with churches. So of the 3,000 people, there were about 800 who said they would like to connect with a church once the restrictions lift. So please pray that we will be able to do this. And a lady named Leonella shared that she doesn't know how she could have survived without the help that we were able to provide during this time. So I'm really thankful to God and to our friend Matthias. He spurred me and others onto love and good deeds. We are really thankful to the community of Christ who also supported us during this time. Often we think of certain individuals serving God overseas, but really it's a community. As a community of Christ, we're serving God, and we wouldn't be able to do anything without the body of Christ. So thank you again. Let me read verse 23 and 24 of Hebrews chapter 10. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So again, we see this concept of us. We are the body of Christ, the community. So how can we encourage each other to love and good deeds? Meeting together is really important. I'm preaching here to the converted. You guys are here physically and in person and also virtually. There are times where there are restrictions and we can't meet together in person. And different people have different reasons why they can't be together in person. But we thank God for the technology that lets us meet virtually. So during Bible times, it was important for people to meet together. And it continues to be important for us now, whether it's in person or virtually. We are not to give up meeting together. I know that when our meetings were in person, were virtual, there were times where we would think that the meetings are recorded. We will sometime on Sunday listen to those sermons, and it was easy for us to put other things during the time where church would normally come. And we found if we didn't make church an absolute priority, especially the hours the church was on, it was easy for other things to crowd in. So for us, it was, as a family, we made a decision to separate this time and make that for the Lord and make sure even when we were at home that we spent time connected with other believers. And all of us need to be reminded of the importance of meeting together. So you guys are here with us in person and virtually, but please remind others in the congregation that of the importance of meeting. Maybe it means sending them a WhatsApp message or giving them a call. But especially as, God willing, things open up more, encourage people to continue meeting. And it says, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So Jesus died, but he rose on the third day, and Jesus will return. And that day is approaching. The day that we hear often mentioned in the Bible. The wars, the earthquakes, and the epidemics just remind us that that day is coming and that Christ will return soon. This is not the time to hide away. This is not the time to be afraid. This is the time to take all the precautions that we need to, but at the same time, it's a time for us to remember that the day is approaching. And this is the time to share God's good news. So I'll invite Christine up again.
I just wanted to add that I think those early months of COVID were particularly hard for me. Even though we had church on Sunday, I felt disconnected a little bit from my church community. And then I found out the women were meeting together online and they were talking to each other and having Bible studies. And then I had missed the email or the message. I didn't get on the list. I don't know what happened. But then I started meeting with them. And that was just such an encouragement because we could share our prayer points, we can share our concerns, and find people in our group and study the word and be encouraged by talking to each other. And it also gave me a perspective on I was worried about my problems at home, which you can imagine compared to someone who couldn't work, didn't have any savings, had family members who were sick or were struggling with getting access to oxygen for their sick relative. My problems were nothing compared to their problems. So it gave me the power to pray for my community and not focus just on myself. So I think community is really important and we need to encourage each other. I also think for other reasons, as restrictions eased a little bit in Peru, God provided for our every need. With the Parkinson's ministry, it was a struggle because I couldn't really run the same sort of meetings online because of the technology. People weren't open to the technology at first, but gradually more people were able to access technology and learn about, and I was able to teach about managing people's Parkinson's online through webinars and different Zoom sessions as well. But also God provided opportunities for me in the international community to speak on podcasts, be involved in like a magazine interview and other opportunities with filmmaking. And on my channel, there's a video, an amazing story about God's faithfulness to one family who are missionaries in Peru, whose baby basically nearly died during COVID. And so that's just an amazing story that it's very long, but it's an amazing story about God's faithfulness. So God has been faithful to us and really provided for us opportunities to serve the Lord in ways we would never have expected. So I encourage you to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, because He is faithful to us.
So as we conclude, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. All through the Old Testament, God was distant. A high priest, the priest could enter the holy place, but only the high priest could enter the most holy place, and only once a year. But when Jesus died, the curtain was torn, and we have access to the most holy place. It was during COVID where I felt closest to God, but we don't have to wait for a difficult time to read our Bibles and spend time learning about who God is and approaching God. We are asked to hold unswervingly, so without wavering, to the hope that we profess, because He who promised is faithful. One lesson that we've learned through our time in Peru is that God is faithful. It's not based on what we do, but our God is faithful. Through uncertain times, we hold on to the promises that God has given us. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, but we know the one who holds tomorrow. We ask to encourage one another, to spur one another on to love and good deeds. What are good deeds and what are actions that we can do, not just as individuals, but as a community? How can we encourage one another? For us, it's really important to stay connected with the church, especially when things are difficult. It's important to stay connected to the body of Christ. Let's pray for us as a community. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the book of Hebrews, and thank You for what we can learn through this. I pray that we will remember the sacrifice you made, the perfect sacrifice, we can approach you not based on what we've done. We can approach you based on Jesus and the perfect sacrifice that Jesus is. Help us also to hold unswervingly to the truth, to the hope that we profess, and give us the strength and the confidence to profess this truth every day. This is not a time for us to be afraid and hide away, but pray that you will give us confidence using wisdom, but also give us the bravery to be able to share your great news with others, especially others who are struggling at the moment. And I pray that you will give us ways to encourage each other and help us to be able to spur each other on towards love and good deeds. And we thank you as a family for keeping us safe during our time in Peru, and also the privilege of serving you and being in a place where there was darkness and where many people struggled. And thank you for this time that we have in Australia. Here in Australia also there are great needs, and I pray for us here as a community of believers as we reach out to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.